The Vox Markets Podcast.
What's the name of the company again? The biotech one?
Vadim, we're live. We're live, Vadim. Welcome to Taking Stock. I'm with Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. Of course, it's a big day for the Bank of England. Yesterday, it was the Fed's turn. All I want, Vadim, is for Andrew Bailey. You know, rates are going to be kept on hold. That's a consensus. But what I want is for Andrew Bailey to be as bullish as Jerome Powell. And I don't think he will be. You know, I don't think he will be.
Well, just last week, he was saying how the UK, I think he said the UK economy is worse than he's ever seen it.
They're on hold. It's just come out. 5.25. I don't know what this. Yeah, obviously, the commentary, his interviews will be later. I'd like him to be a bit more bullish. But I did say yesterday on yesterday's video, the first thing I said was apparently tomorrow, which is today now, the Santa rally starts in the UK, because apparently it starts 14th, 15th, 16th. And literally, I know, I understood that the Fed would come out, and I thought he's going to be that, you know, that. Hawkish talk again, trying to talk the markets down, keep a lid on it, everyone. But he wasn't. Yeah.
No, he was like Santa. He was like Santa himself. Absolutely. I mean, that's just great. Rates coming down, you know, everything. I have to say, I didn't expect that. I don't think the markets expected it. Great to see the rally starting this morning. It's fantastic.
This is the start of it. Look at the indices here. Okay, you've got FTSE up over 2%. FTSE 250, the strongest gainer, 2.8%, at least 3%. The AMOL share, 1.8%. Ocado's ripping there. Biggest rise in the FTSE 100, 9% up. John, who I do the video with on Monday and Friday, he hates Ocado. He will hate that. It's really ripping away there. But this is the start. I think I entitled this video Banker Rally, Santa Rally. But I genuinely think now the AMOL share, I just post this. I mean, let me just get the indices up. But if you look at the AMOL share here, we're now up 10% from the low. Yeah, I guess the 770 is 15. I guess 803, that's 20%. That's technically now a bull market if it starts there. A couple more sessions like this. And what happens is you do see this. When you see like the bond, I mean, bonds are dropping off a cliff. You know, look at the British 5-year. Literally, it's just falling down off a cliff there. You know, and when you have this, it's an inverse relationship, of course, this with the markets. And I think once you start getting a bit of confidence, a bit of sentiment, a bit of money flow coming into the markets, you'll start to see, you know, it's almost like a tsunami, because rising share prices attract more money. More money comes in, pushes the share price up, and literally it's self-fueling. And people understand when a bull market starts, especially from the bottom, it can be very aggressive, can't it?
It's the first kind of a thesis you and I have been discussing on our podcast for the last, unfortunately, 2 years. Wish it were less long, but I was hoping about a year ago that this bull market bounce, and you've seen it. It was a dead cat bounce in the end. Remember, we talked about this last week. Went up about 30% and came back all the way back down. Almost lost all those gains. Well, now we're seeing that bounce again. But you see the power of that initial bounce in the new bull market. It's really a lot of gains are gained immediately in the beginning. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, you know, the bigger money starts to come in and pulls it higher and higher, which is fantastic. But you get the double digit gains really quickly.
Yeah. This level here with the AMOL share on the 20th of November, it hit a sort of interim high. I said, what we need to see now is that to continue. It'll consolidate a little bit, because it's been quite a big, you know, we had something, I can't remember what it was, like 14 days down pretty much. I mean, out of 20 odd days, it was like 14 days down, and it was majorly oversold. And so you can have a technical bounce off the bottom, then you want it to sustain. And it sort of has looked, and I said, it needs to break this level now. Maybe this previous, you know, support back here, it needs to break. Yeah. It's done that quite easily. It's really blown through it. That is a sign of strength. And I do think, you know, I think we'll have a cracking Santa rally next week. We may have a consolidation a little bit, you know, in maybe the first quarter, but then you get more, I suppose, you know, dovish talk from the central banks saying, you know, the war against inflation is working. We are winning it. And so I think we're on to, and is it, you have to separate. There's still going to be sectors going to struggle. They come out. That's what you've got to, you know, worry about. Don't just, you know, it's a market of stocks. You've still got to be a bit discerning over what you buy, because you've got to worry that, you know, updates coming out from these companies are not going to be bad, because they are like consumer facing and they have debt and they're you know, heavy on resource, human resource. Then of course wages have gone up, the cost of their debt has gone up, and maybe even demand for the product has gone down. So you've got to be careful what you're picking, haven't you?
Retailers are laying off staff. I mean, you've seen that, right? This the past week. Yeah. There's been a few announcements of some retailers leading, you know, so it is a bit there. It's tricky. You're right. It's a mixed recovery. Got to pick your stocks and your sectors. Right. I agree. I do think, you know, this is genuine, you know, that everyone was waiting for this moment when the Fed would change its tune. It has now, you know, it's very difficult for the Fed to bounce around changing their tune. Like if they go back to hawkish, aggressive, it's mixed messages, right? So I know they, you know, you'd like to think they picked their words carefully, and you know, they're really going for it now, which is, I think that's just it's a pleasant surprise. It's a distinct change, you know. It's the first time. It's like you described, the first time we hear something not hawkish from the Fed over the last 2 years now, or whatever, since the rate cycle started going up. So I mean, this is really, look at the markets. It's telling us everything. It's the beginning of a rally. You're right. We have to hear the same from the other central banks. I don't think they'll necessarily follow in lockstep perfectly, but over the next year they should, right?
Yeah.
So it's very, very encouraging.
The thing is, I mean, a bit of housekeeping, by all means, get involved in the comments. We'll catch up on comments right now. So, you know, put the comment there. Have you bought this morning? Is there any stock that you're in is rising very quickly? You tend to get that. Some of the stocks have been hammered, will rise very quickly off the bounce there. Let us know. But if you could, you know, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe to the channel, by all means do that. But it's interesting to think what the Fed is seeing. Is it the fact that, did he say they're winning the war against inflation, or are they worried about the economy going forward? That's the difference, isn't it? It's two different things there that can happen, you know?
Yeah. Well, definitely you're not talking about lowering rates, you know, if you're worried about inflation. It doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't, you know, so I clearly, by their actions, if you're lowering rates, you're not worried about inflation anymore. And yes, it stimulates the economy to lower rates. So I mean, that they'll never escape. So I'm delighted to see that maybe they thought that the neutral rate was lower. I think they do think that. I think neutral rates are, you know, somewhere closer to 4%, right? So they're above the neutral rate. So they're breaking on the economy right now, and they don't need to break on the economy if inflation's been, you know, beat. And that's I think. I think that's what's happening. They're not going to go back down to 2% unless there was a real problem in the economy. It's more bringing the rates down to what are more neutral rates, whether that's 3.5 to 4.5% is deemed more neutral, whereas above 5% is putting the brakes on the economy. Do you see what I mean? So you want to go back to a more natural neutral rate where you're not Goldilocks. It's a Goldilocks rate. Right.
Couple of comments here. The sea of green. This is from AI Investor. The sea of green on my free trade app points to Santa Rally is up and running. Are you paid for by the free trade app? It's a good app, actually. I opened the free trade app. We had a discussion in the week about you know, the incumbents like Argus Lansdown, AJ Bell, FCA came out saying you've got to look at your fees, you're double dipping, you're not passing on interest rates to customers, plus you're also charging fees. And there's now a proliferation of these free apps, which are very good. Free trade is very good. 212 is very good. I've not used that, actually. I've used free trade. But it'd be interesting to see what kind of market they cut. And apparently now Robin Hood is coming to the UK. So we've been talking about that. So anyway, Fonzie, I've been building a position in MMAG, that's Music Magpie, in recent weeks. Great trading update today. Improved gross margin, reduced the debt as a string H2 revenue. Illogical, market cap of 14 million should be more than double that. They're looking to sell, and I would be surprised they sold sub 50 pence. currently 14. They floated a 200 million market cap barely 2 years ago. I know, but look what the difference the markets had. You know, back then when rates were low, people, that's symbolic of the top of the market. When you get a lot of IPOs, you know, that's towards the top of the market because people are just chucking money at you to invest. You know, like I said, going back that time, people are actually investing £1 million in NFT apes, you know, pictures of apes on NFTs. It's like, didn't make any sense. So it's a different market. But you know, let's have a look at MMG is rallying today. Let's have a quick look at the chart here. Music Magpie. So they do Orca. I'm sure I used Music Magpie years ago to send some CD. I spent about 7 days packing up some old CDs. Sent it off to them. It's a lot of hassle. I got like 30 quid. I may as well just give it to charity. It was like, you know, ridiculous. Yeah, horrible downtrend. Look at that.
Yeah.
That I've looked at so many charts here. You see so many charts listing in this time here, May, the top end of the bull market, the summer of 21, pretty much, that time, and dropping off a cliff. When you realize, you know, literally, when it got to this level, you know, interest rates are going up, all that stuff, cost of capital is going up, everything's going up. You realize, you know, companies that are pre-revenue or loss-making weren't valued like they were previously. It's actually derated massively. But they've had a bounce, but still, that is, wow, look at that. Even in the last few sessions, it's gone from 20 pence to like 10 pence. And I was bummed. Let's have a look at the results here on the thing. See what they say.
That's the key with these companies, right? So looking at, say, small caps, they're not rallying quite yet. I would like to think, I hope they will in the next year. But it's where real value can be found. Now, some of them are on their way out because they have serious cash concerns, right? So that is something you and I discuss quite often, is that the companies that are cash burning companies have to look at the balance sheet first, start with that. If there's a discounted placing coming and you like the company, just wait for the discounted placing. That's when you'll get the best value, right? But a lot of these companies from that June crop of companies that listed are down 80, 90, you know, 95% in some cases, and they're good businesses. So it's a good shopping ground, all these small businesses. Just make sure you're not catching it right before some discounted placing. That's their, you know, final round, if you like. I think a lot of these stocks will bounce aggressively. The mid caps are bouncing in the, say, the 10 to 20% range, 30%, maybe 40 if the rally continues. But the small caps will be multiples, right? Mm-hmm. If you pick up a business sub 10 million and it's doing okay and it's just recapitalized and you know now it has cash for 1 to 2 to 3 years, that's the time to get it.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I mean, yeah, look for companies have done a placing and wait, because you will have churn. You know? So, thing is here, I mean, they've still got a lot of debt. I mean, the cost of debt is not going to come down, but they've still got net. I mean, you know, customers are good. Well, revenue's obviously down from 143 to 136. They say record Black Friday. Margins, gross margin better. EBITDA expected to be up 7.5. But they do have net debt of 13 million. Now, that's the size of their market cap. I'm always a bit worried. I mean, maybe it's a trading opportunity, but I'm always a little bit wary of companies that has debt that size. You know, it could be the market.
I can't help but say, Justin, that's a big red signal because you see the problem with debt of that size, if you don't have the equity to bail you out, and you know the market cap's too small versus the debt size, right? So it's really that's very difficult that amount of debt.
Yeah, Fonzie. Yeah. Be careful. Maybe it's a trading opportunity. Don't go too crazy on it like I said, it's there. A favorite of mine here. This is Ben. Says, I recently bought Future after Mark Slater and Fidelity took positions, having watched their results presentation and done some research. I did the same thing. It's one of these companies I've been stalking for a long time, Future PLC. It is like a former darling of the stock market. It's, you know, it's in media brands. It owns many well-known publications, online publications and print. And they also have their own Go Compare. And their margins are very good, like operating margin of 20-odd%. They've been growing, you know, for a long time. This is the first year they haven't grown. And of course, that's because, you know, consumer sentiment reigning in. But they're down now to P6. And, you know, the update wasn't that bad. It did drop off a cliff, but they are rallying. But I did see recently, where was it? Bear with me 1 second. Let me just find this. Move across. I did see some, you know, companies, some people taking a stake here. I've got a cancer. I've got my face is in the way of the dialogue box I'm typing into. There we are. Right, that's the problem. So this future, it is up strongly today, so up 8.6%. And you can see a couple of holdings here, notification of major holdings. There's Fidelity, up to 5%. Also, where is it? Notification of major holdings. I think it was Slater Investments, up to 5.15. So these guys taking a position here, it's quite interesting, because especially Slater and stuff, because they know what they're really about. You just think, in the end, okay, they may not be a supersonic growth company anymore, but valuation is very good. It's like a PE of 6. This has never traded on this low before. Normally, it's trading on a value, a PE of 20, 25, 30, you know? So, and they have bounced today, but still not in an uptrend. But this is a typical example, isn't it, where you can look at some companies that have done very well over the last few years, been hammered in this downturn.
Yeah.
You think, will they get back to former glory? They don't need to. They just need to sort of, you know, get halfway to former glory, pretty much. And that's a massive upside. If they get to like 20 quid, it's still a lot from 5, you know, 6 quid, 7 quid. So, no, I do like it. I'm going to wait, you know, till the uptrend has started a bit more there, because it's a little bit of day. Today's bounce, you know, you may have to see it go sideways after today's bounce, because it'd be interesting to see what Bailey says. Let's hope
you don't. You know, just a quick comment on these businesses that were like Future and all the other small ones that we mentioned. The other thing that people are forgetting is over this downturn, the businesses have evolved for the 2-year period. So, you know, it's not like they've stood still and nothing's happened. You know, more often than not, they've progressed and created value. It's just not been recognized in this down market. So when in a remotely better market, you'll probably see a better recognition of the value that's been created over the 2-year period. So, I mean, I really do think there is good, it's a good shopping ground, these small caps. You just have to be careful that you're not coming in right before some event like a placing. But, you know, balance sheets are the first place to start.
Yeah, but Future is a bigger company. It's close to 800 million, and it's cash generative. And also what you say there is quite true. And not only that, during the downturn, you'll find companies will become more efficient. You know, they'll have to, because, like I said, less demand, less coming through for their product. And they'll have to cut back, and they'll find ways of becoming more efficient. And in fact, on that, on the presentation, Future said, the CEO, new CEO, who took a decent chunk of shares at 888, he spent about £800,000 on shares at 888 when he first came in. But he did say, we are using AI for like editing and all that stuff, and video editing, and that will help a lot. You know, it'll save time and effort, it'll speed up processes. So they are delving into that already. And so, yeah, it will be like that. Dave says, Pfizer chart looks horrible. Paul should have followed your advice, Justin. Charts definitely help with the trend. Yeah, I said yesterday, you know, someone had to go, you always get some people resisting on charts. And I said, listen, you know, of the 6 metrics I look at, pretty much, you know, growth, value, health, efficiency, potential, momentum is just one of them. So, and charts is just one of them. But I said, you do need to look at a chart, because, you know, a company can stack up very well, a good value and all that. But if it's in a downtrend, sometimes you think it can continue to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So all you want to try and do is, you know, think it's just avoid a horrible downtrend, because it can. Let's look at Pfizer. I did look at this chart of Pfizer, and they came up with bad news recently. And this is Paul, who I do a regular podcast with. But he bought, I think it was up here somewhere. And I said, if you just use the 200-day moving average, which is a red one, let me just get rid of everything else. You can see there, you know, just this money supply. That's all it is. I mean, it's no sort of, you know, black box or magic operating in here. So you can see there, you know, a series of higher highs going up. And all of a sudden, the next high was lower. And the next high was lower. What's happening there? There's some net supply, some selling coming in. And all of a sudden, it dips below the 200-day moving average. It tries to reach again, didn't get above these previous highs, and really drops down. And so just saying, what you want to do is the opposite of this. You know, these are lower highs, lower lows. You want to find a company that's, you know, creating higher highs, higher lows. Because what that reflects is people are paying more for the stock. You know, so the price is going up and people are paying more for it. They're not selling it. They're buying it at higher levels. And so it's like anything. It's like an efficient marketplace, isn't it? It's like anything. If you own a little market stall and you find, you know, one of the other stalls selling umbrellas, apparently, is sold out doing a rainstorm, you can start charging more because of lack of supply. And that's the same with stocks and shares. You know, it's economics 101, isn't it? It's just money supply, and that's it. And I guess demand and supply. So yeah, I always say, look at
What's the length of that chart? Sorry,
so this is from let me just
time horizon.
So if I that's a year chart there, so it's come from $54 down to 26. If you go 5 years, you can see top of the market pretty much was in December 21, $60. That's a weak chart there, but
there's a lot of dynamics going on in large cap pharma though. You know, there's an impending, I mean, this is partly part of it. There's many reasons why stocks go down, but overall there is a patent cliff in large cap pharma that's looming in the late 2020s. And a lot of people are seeing, we saw this in the kind of in the noughties, right? From in late 2000, kind of around the debt crisis of 2008, pharma was going through a patent cliff. Well, we're seeing it again, 20 years on, there's another patent cliff. A lot of these immuno-oncology drugs are coming off patent. So many companies are struggling to fill their pipeline. So they're a bit on a buying spree. Pfizer bought a company for $40-50 billion not long ago. And they're trying to stock up to fill the pipeline because obviously this patent cliff means they can see the end of the revenues of several of their star products, right? Once you hit the end of your patent on those products, your pricing drops by 90%, the generics come in, you've basically lost your drug at that point. And these are drugs that, you know, several of them are multi-billion dollar drugs, you know, say they sell, some sell in the $10 billion, okay? So it's a serious issue for a lot of large cap pharma. It's not imminent as in next month, but it's imminent over a three to four year period. So, you know, there is this issue that they're resolving through M&A today. And the question becomes, you know, will we see them succeed? And then I think Pfizer also has, you know, they've had some more headline grabbing news, like their their COVID drug was overstocked. So, you know, there's a lot of returns.
At the moment, the big drug in America is anti-obesity drugs, you know, and I can't think of the company, Novo something, I can't think what it's called.
It's Novo Nordisk, that's right.
Novo Nordisk,
literally. Danish company.
I love this company.
Wegovy is the name of the drug.
Yes, and they have this drug that, of course, literally drops weight off you. Apparently, everything you eat tastes like cardboard, so you don't want to eat anything. And they've obviously gone to the biggest market with the most obese people in the world, America. And they're so sort of, you know, the demand is so high they can't stock any other country. They're saying, no, we got enough in America at the moment. So I think Pfizer's failed. Their version of that kind of market failed recently as well. So they've had bad news after bad news there. But so there we are.
But just that drug in Denmark, it's phenomenal. It's like it's made the whole country richer just because of the success of that one, you know, Wegovy drug, that weight loss drug, which it's phenomenal. You know, if it could be repeated by others, of course they're all trying.
Look at this headline here, right? This is talking about I know you were in AO World, this is very similar sort of area. Curry's, Curry's PLC. Now, when you talk about ramping or overly promotional RNSs, you know, it's normally reserved for like the AIM market where you get CEOs being a bit over the top. You think, what did the Nomad pull that in or reel that in? Look at this. This is their interim results, right? And they basically said, Curry's, solid performance in a tough environment. He didn't even mention the interims. So this is like, this is unaudited results for the half year. It's like, normally, that's all we say, isn't it? Unaudited results for the half year. Solid performance in a tough environment. The CEO really wants to get it out there, doesn't he? But, they are up today, but I thought, that's very promotional, that thing. But
you have to tone those things down, I agree. Especially when you're a mid-cap company. But no, there's definitely a lot of those, the ones we discussed last week. AO's rallying, Deliveroo's rallying, EasyJet's doing, EasyJet's continued. It's broken through 500.
These are all like for like here. Joe, I was looking at, where was it? There's so many figures in here, but adjusted EBIT, 4.1 billion. It's down from 7% down from 4.7 billion this half year, of course. EBITDA margin 4.4%. Wow. So operating margin 0.7%. They are operating on really thin margins, aren't they? These they did make an adjusted profit before tax a loss, 16 million. But yeah. I mean, they say there is the trading opportunity of them being oversold massively, like the Currys chart. That is, you know, Ecovyst going from, you know, dash for cash crash 2020, rallied the end of the bull market, pretty much, and then literally at 150, 160 pence, and that's down at 49 pence. But today, even the rally today is not even above, you know, these previous highs here. So it's almost like a technical bounce off the bottom. But
these mid caps, those are the ones I like. I mean, the ones, well, Currys is not one I own, but you know, an equivalent kind of peer is AO, which is one I do own. I like it a lot, and I like
that whole space.
I like that whole space because of precisely that. If you look at the chart over the last 5 years, it's still completely, you know, at its bottom. You know, it's actually, if you look at AO from day one, if you have the
yeah,
chart,
well, look at that. Yeah. That's an excellent example of a series of higher lows and higher highs. That is, people paying up for the price, you know, and it's continuing. It comes back, people are buying it back up, and it creates a new high every single time. New high. Today, it's starting to roll over a little bit. What you need to see is consolidate and move back up. If it doesn't, it sort of breaks down below that, I'd say, 80 pence level. You may want to think, okay, maybe the rally's finished off a little bit there. If you go back, look at that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's at all-time highs, lows, okay, almost still, in spite of this rally over the last year, it's still really, really low by historic standards. The company hasn't done massive, massive refinancings that are dilutive, so it's not because of that that the shares are where they are. It's just a consequence, it's a victim of the, yes, the cost of living crisis initially, but they've pulled out of it. They were one of the first to adjust very, very quickly. And you know, now we're seeing the benefits of that. But look at the broader chart; it can rally a lot more. I mean, it's worth what, 500 million market cap business. You know, it's seen highs in the billions, right? So, who's to say in a proper market that can't be achieved again?
Do you still own Deliveroo?
I do. Yeah, that's another one I love.
There we are. Yeah, similar looking chart. Like, it's come down. Yeah. This is the 200-day moving average. You see here. In fact, I put a line there. I think last time we talked about it, I put a line there, and I said if it gets above those, obviously you can see there straight away. It's trying to break above that 99 pence a quid level, right? Mm-hmm. And once it does it,
I know it's a bit higher than that. It's about 130.
Once it breaks that £1 level, it's good. It starts to move, you know. And there we are. And you see these higher lows there. It's good.
Exactly.
200-day moving average there. Cool. Do you know, have you heard of, just a couple of news, have you heard of Aptima Group? I mean, there's not much news out today. There's Aptima Group, but this has been hammered. Let me just find the chart on this. But I don't really know what they do, provide services.
I think they're a contract research organization, or CRO, or they've rebranded, I think, as that.
Post-downturn. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, they have. And they came from 130 down to £1.30, down to 1.24 pence. I can't even see it on the chart, it's so flat. But they did come out today. You wouldn't think it. They did come out today with material news, but the market doesn't think so.
I think the issue here now is just to get to profitability, right? And you know, they cut costs, and they still have a lot of costs to cover with revenues. So they need to drive revenues, I think, substantially more than what you're seeing in the announcements today. You know, now they may still achieve that, and you can see how bombed out the stock price is. So there is an opportunity. But there's also risk for a further requirement for financing if they don't get there.
They did around
at 1p.
They did. I noticed that. They're on the edge of going through, basically, and they raised the money there. They thought, okay. So, like I said, they say they're material agreement, and it's up 2% today. So the market doesn't seem to think it's that material. If it is, it's, you know, they need something else, they're going for it. Another one sort of raised some money today, which very, you know, so I've seen, I think you've got to be a big chip maker to make it work, I think. And Silica down 14%. They raised some money here, 1.5. They are a 30 million market cap company. But even so, look at this. They do say they have, I've been caught out by this before in the past. with companies with a potential sales pipeline now estimated at 360 million. You think, yeah, but that's huge. But how much is that likely to convert? Because, you know, you could, if you want, you can put any number there. you can, every customer in the world, potential customer, you could put there. But, you know, how much is it going to convert? They do say they're progressing two significant consultancy contracts worth around about 7.1 million, which seems like more, you know, realistic, really. But, it was quite a bit of a discount. They've done a warrant as well with it. But you've got to think, how much did they audit full year results? How much did they lose? They made a little bit of a profit, their operating profit in the last year. So, okay, maybe that lasts longer than I think then, because losing money. But, it's gutting when you have a share a fundraising when you're in a stock. And in fact, the chart of this, you know, you can see, you know, if you just pay attention to charts, you run into too bad day, because you see there, it's not really performed. It's not even got above, since the initial, you know, bull market sort of fall off, it's not got above 200 moving average. It's just gone down, and all of a sudden, after several down days, it's literally gapped down again for that placing.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's like a gut punch, isn't it? When you get a stock and it's going down, and then you're a fundraise. Just when you think it can't go down any further, you're a fundraise that's discounted. Oh, God. It's horrible.
Absolutely. And that's the key, is not to get caught out by these discounted placings. So first place to start is businesses you like in these small caps, obviously. Second place is look at the balance sheet, you know, and if they're running out of cash there, you know, that's the danger. But I do think this shopping ground really is that it currently is the place to look for the next, you know, big gains. Once risk is always the same risk capital, right? It goes from, like we've seen all these FANG, or formerly known as FANG stocks, they rallied first. They're the most liquid. They're starting to get toppy again. They're getting expensive. People want to find, you know, returns elsewhere. So they go down to the next tier. And then it won't be long before people start fishing in small caps. And if you position yourself well, then, you know, don't get into the ones that are dangerously close to a discounted placing. Get into the handful that aren't, but haven't seen a rally yet, because that rally will come. Yeah.
Well, I did say yesterday, is the rally broadening? They said it is. Apparently, was it yesterday, the day before, was the first day that the Mag 7 didn't rally, but the S&P was up. So that's, you know, the Mag 7 make up, I think, close to 30% of that.
Yeah.
So the fact that the rest of the stocks in that S&P 500 rallied and the overall index was up, and this is the Russell 2000 yesterday, the biggest riser, up literally, this is the US small cap indices, up, you know, 3.5%. That's an indice in one day. And you can see it's rallied strongly from the base there.
We were talking about the NASDAQ biotech index last week?
Yeah,
now it's 25. Rallied 4% yesterday. I mean, that's a big rally for an index.
Yeah. Look at that. That's literally now 19% up from the lows, recent lows. And that is obviously 20%, they say, bull market. So we are. So, and honestly, I don't feel this is just a technical bounce. I think, you know, because that's a big technical bounce if it is. But I think, you know, money inflow happens when stocks rise. And I think it will keep powering away. It won't just go straight up, of course. It'll go sideways. But you get some better data come out, or some data come out again. So push it up again. So if anyone's paying attention to, if Bailey's been interviewed anyway, let me know. What else is there? Informer says, can somebody explain to me who is buying Barclays? I don't know. I guarantee it keeps rising, but I'd like to know who is buying such a lame organization. Ooh, I say. Well, I guess I'm looking at Barclays. I assume it's funny, banks, isn't it? Because they work off net interest margin. But you think if you're going so you think higher interest rates would do them well, but if you are going into an economy that's getting stickier, harder, I mean, for businesses, then obviously there's more loans that will go, they won't get paid back, basically. So, it is. I just think it's a general market rally here for Barclays, because it's not.
That's probably what it is. But, you know, on that theme, though, of financials companies, you mentioned a few last week, which is all of the stock brokers, you know, the Hargreaves Lansdowns and all those.
Asset managers,
But asset managers, I find, are interesting. People look at them as legacy businesses that are on their way out. And, that's true. There's some truth to that, except that they're paying 9% dividends, which is nice. It's a nice thing to have in the meantime. And the debate as to whether those dividends are sustainable isn't acute. It's not like, oh, they're about to stop paying their dividends. Yeah. These are companies like LNG, MNG.
There's Aberdeen there. It's down. It's down from 442 to 180. It's rallying, yeah. Dave.
They're rallying with the market, right? So if the market rallies, all their AUMs go up, right? Assets under management go up, right?
So
two areas in financials, aside from Barclays, the banks, you know, which I have no comment on, but on the asset management side and on the broking, the retail brokers like the Hargreaves Lansdown, they will see more volume going through, which means more commissions. And I think you mentioned Redmain last week, right? Was that the one you mentioned? AJ Bell, another big one, is performing and is starting to see probably volume coming through, which is another signal that the market's picking up. But you know, they rally in good markets. And asset managers, well, they're already paying 9% dividends, which is fantastic. But their AUMs go up if the market bounces, right? So those are two nice little things to have. You have a nice divvy, and in a positive market, you should see the AUM pull the share price up. I totally agree that these aren't. I hold a few of them. You know, I don't intend to hold them for the rest of eternity because I am worried about the long term kind of trend of these asset managers are slightly overpricing their skills, right? And there's all these new competitors, fintech competitors that have much lower fees. So I think in the long term, they may be doomed. But in the meantime, for a couple of years, it's not a bad thing to get a nice divvy and get a nice rally.
But saying that, I looked at Hargreaves last trading update, and it wasn't negative, and they got a massive footprint in the UK. So you know, it's going to take a lot to take a bit of share off them. And like I said, you know, now it's quite interesting. Actually, they dipped down recently I think it's full year results, but you know, below the sort of support level, now they're back into it. So they are maybe that is the bottom for them. Mm-hmm. And the only one down today, look at all these asset managers, Impex, Asset, all up, all of them up. They went down has been the outstanding performer, which owns an asset somewhere else, but it's 3i Group. But I mean, look at that. That's been the other way. Everything else has been going down. That's been going up. But I mean, that day is just a little bit down, it's a quarter of 1%. Not a big deal. Anyway, let's catch up on some.
What do you see?
Is Allergy Therapeutics still trading? And if so, is it worth bottom fishing, turn around, or is it no touch stock now, Vadim?
Very difficult. So I got out of Allergy. It was one of the ones that I got completely wrong, actually, in that the beauty of Allergy historically was that it was a mixed revenue generating business plus a nice pipeline of products coming through. So they have a phase one peanut allergy product. And then they have either grass or birch allergy product in phase three. So the data coming through on the pipeline products is good, and they've had a recent announcement on that. So the pipeline is strong. It's the revenue side of the business that surprised everybody. They had a manufacturing glitch, which they had to shut down for like not even a month during their peak production season. So you build up your stock for your next spring where all the allergies kick in, right? So they had to, in the fall, the autumn of that year, they had to shut down. So they couldn't deliver on their revenues. And as a result, they got into a massive cash crunch, which they had to be bailed out from by their two or three key shareholders. That bailout cost them. It was done at 1p. So I think that's the fundamental problem with Allergy is that, you know, we don't know whether they're going to be, whether the cash was enough. So there might be further bailouts, which brings us back to the point of always hard to jump in when there's maybe a discounted placing coming. You know, I don't know. That to me is the danger with this one. It's the current financial position of the company, which they've been very explicit about. You know,
they said sales for financial year to the 30th of June 2024 are expected to be slightly lower than comparable period. Costs and overheads before research and development costs, they've been cut slightly lower. So they say, as a consequence, cash runway towards the end of January 2024, which is not far off.
Not great. not great at all. And remember, this stock was worth, you know, 20, 30p. The last round was done at 1p.
Yeah. So, in my mind, whenever funding is in question, and literally, I wouldn't touch a stock that you can't see it hasn't got a cash runway for a month. It's like, you need, I mean, I think you touch and go, you 6 months, I at least 12 months. There's plenty of stocks out there with, like I say, a loss making that have, a runway for 12 months, and that's a sort of safe kind of thing, especially in this market now. The market's going to change so much more over the next 12 months. So it'll be a rally, it'll get easy to raise, but you need a bigger runway than a month.
So quality of assets, love the business, always did. But this is the problem. It's the financing that might come and surprise everyone again. Well, it shouldn't be a surprise. It's like you say, the company's explicitly said it. they're going to need more money. Yeah. So you might be able to bottom fish even better post that raise whenever it happens. Yeah.
Let's look. Tom says Santa hat tomorrow, Justin. Yes, maybe. I'm going with John tomorrow. He should be in it. He said he would wear a Santa hat. If a Santa... I've been banging on that we're going to have a Santa rally. And when I first started mentioning it, we're at the lows. And I said, I think it's setting up for a Santa rally. When you're at the lows and you are literally coming in November, I think that's quite good. It sets up very well. October, I think it was, November. And but there we are. I think the central bank might lower rates if they worry more about bank stability than inflation, just in principle. Okay, bought car today. Hopefully, we can see a fall. It's done well, car though, isn't it? Is it? I mean, car. This is one of the stocks, okay. Card Factory, where literally, everyone had written it off, and the turnaround plan was going quite well. It came on here and rallied very strongly. That's in a bit of a range now. That's the trouble. Like I said, three states of the chart, down trend. Range uptrend. You want uptrend. You need to break these previous highs. It's having problems there. So, it's you must be patient for a while. But who knows? If people buy balloons and cards over Christmas, they may see a knockout Christmas there. Who knows? But there we are. So I got some more comments there. How many stocks do you own then? Now, Vadim?
Probably about 15, 16, something like that. 15 to 20. That includes large caps and, a mix.
Okay. REITs should benefit from lower interest rates, Riff says. Gregory says, what would be the next most likely news out of Destiny Pharma? A deal. That's what I like to see. A deal happening. I think it's going to come out soon. But, have you looked at Destiny Pharma recently, Vadim?
No, but it's rallied as you suggested, whatever it was, 3-4 months ago. I think you were talking to me about it at around 25p. It's 75 now. So that's you think, did you buy some? You did, eh? You own some.
Oh, yeah. I bought some at the one of the things, I mean, I've had three companies literally do 100%, four in the last 12 months. You can see the market was turning, And it was one of those things where, not immediately, I had to sit and wait for a while, but I thought, am I wrong here? Destiny Pharma, I just thought, they were valued like 20 million. They had like 10 million in cash, and they had two, going into phase three assets, won a deal on one. And I thought, and if you went back, like I said, 12 months, they were like 180 a share. And then at the moment, they were 30 pence a share. And I thought, what? I don't understand this. And of course, sooner or later, people start to catch on and you get, fake rallies. But then all of a sudden, the seller drives up, whatever sellers drive up, and it starts to rally. So it's done very well. The same happened with, Good Energy, a company I bought. It was way below net asset value. They were profitable. They had a huge turnover. They're in, clean energy. I still hold them. They're valued like crazy. And for a while, you question something in a bear market. And, is my research wrong on this? And then you realize, no, it wasn't actually. It was fine. In fact, I got two others. I don't want to mention now, but two others recently I bought. And I thought, because they're very small, I hadn't got a decent position in them. But again, they've taken off a bit faster than I'd liked. It's getting that stage. Do you know what that stage where in the bear market, you didn't want things to go down? The rallies I've seen today now, it's like, I want them to come back a little bit, And I haven't had that mindset since the bull market, So that's a good thing, I think, where you're thinking, I wouldn't mind buying a bit more, they drop back a bit. But in the bear market, you don't want to go down because it keeps going down. So it's almost like that change in sentiment is part of that.
Correct. I think a lot of people are like us, staring at these stocks saying, I like this one, I like that one. And then all of a sudden they rally and you feel like you've missed it. And that's the feeling of, it's the FOMO. Right.
Yeah.
FOMO.
Yes. When you start getting that.
It pulls us all out of this market, this negative market. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I've only had that recently, and I think as the market changing, literally you start thinking, "Oh, I'm going to miss out." And you're right that it's all about the market is driven by emotion, you know, literally because most. I mean, there are some algorithmic, but not in small caps. But I mean, you know, once people get into that, the fear of missing out, then sentiment changes very quickly. It's amazing how you can be super bearish and it can change literally in a session.
Exactly. I mean, look, I'll give you a case in point. The destiny. Okay, so it's happened to one or two stocks. Everyone hears about them. That's great. Fantastic. You've done well. There's 3-time return from the bottom. There's been a few others, you know, and there have been a few false rallies, but they haven't come back to where they started. So they you know, like I think Lung Life had a good rally too. There's a handful of them, but eventually, all of a sudden, people start to say, "Okay, so I missed that one. I'm not going to miss the next one," and then it starts to pull them all up, and you see them all getting picked off. You know, and that's what we should all be looking at right now.
Yeah.
If this is indeed the new bull market, which I'm hoping it is, and it feels it, especially because the central banks are saying all the right things now for it to be, small caps will, whenever they move, they're going to start to move quickly. So it's the time to be looking carefully at which ones you like and making sure you don't miss. You'll probably see one or two rally, but make sure you don't miss the third.
Yeah. Ben, that's interesting. I've never used that. Ben says AIM has broken the 120-day moving average. This is very bullish and signals a change of trend. And he said, since 1996, you could be just saying this, Ben. I don't know the math behind this, but I do like this. Since 1996, if you bought AIM over the 120-day moving average and sold when below, you would have made a 50x. That's 60% annualized. AIM has now crossed the 120-day moving average. Well, thanks, here we are. Aptima makes custom proteins, sort of a bit like a Vector. Yeah, they changed their model a bit, though, didn't they? They've gone with a less sort of cost cumbersome model to something else, and obviously because of that, they've sacrificed some of the upside, I suppose. UK BKS is up on General Rise Day. Lloyd's up 3.4%. Mr. Steve, is there anything else? Boom, Audio Boom is also, in fact, Audio Boom chart. I do a webinar with my investment club once a week, and I did say the Audio Boom chart is looking quite good. I mean, it's in obviously podcasting, and they rely on advertising, and of course that's been hit a lot recently, and they did start sort of doing quite well. They were getting to a profitable model before the downturn hit, and all of a sudden they've just gone down. There were rumors. This is one of three stocks of Vidium I got out of, right? And literally within a year, they 10 bagged. There's three stocks I've done that too. I listened 10 bagged. Not a double, 10 bagged. And one of them, like Argo Blockchain, was a Bitcoin money when Bitcoin originally took off. I think did 3,000%. I literally got out about 3 months before. It's not moving. Bitcoin's moving. It's not moving. So it's not leveraged to it in any way. So it can't be. In the end, it's got out. It was whoosh. It's almost like saying, is he out? Let's go. But look at this. This is rumors. This is going to take
so over painful.
By, taken over by Spotify. But literally, I got out. In fact, it was about a year before this went crazy. But I got out. Again, you can see now, you know, it hasn't. Last time it crossed on the 200-day moving average was literally a downturn in May 2022. Last time it crossed it on the upside was pretty much back here, November 20. And now you can see a lot of this has happened with a lot of charts. A lot of companies are starting to flirt with a 200-day moving average and they come off the bottom. So you can see there, you know, it's early doors here, but you can see a series of, you know, pretty much, you know, lower highs happening, higher highs, lower highs. Can we get the thing there? That's a nice start, that. And once it breaks out, it could continue. But there's a lot of charts doing that. And they say, you wait. You will get the FOMO and people will start spending. The people watching this right now are pretty early adopters to the new upcoming bull market. And you often find, don't you, friends of yours, when you start talking about stocks, you get more excited about them because they're rising. Your friends start latching on and start buying a few. And then you get, you know, more people latching on. And all of a sudden, right at the top of the bull market or the first leg of this bull market, you get a load of investors, first-time investors start coming into the market just as the sell-off happens. people never touch stocks normally ever. You talk to another pub about them there again. They come in really on the last leg of the first rally, don't they? And they get put off for a long time then. They come back and they come back for the next top of the bull market in a couple of years' time. And they do the same again. They say, oh, I bought the top of the market again. I love the emotional roller coaster of the market. Well, I didn't. The last 2 years have been bloody horrible. But It is psychological, isn't it? And I've said it a lot of times, the only thing that separates essentially a good trader or good investor from a bad investor is discipline. You know, having emotional discipline, because we've all got the same pretty much data. You can all access the same data pretty much these days, from charts to RNSs to research. But it's having that, you know, the conviction that the company is very good, or not chasing shares when they're overvalued and all that kind of stuff. It's just discipline. Yeah.
No, absolutely. But just on this bull, you know, if it is a bull rally and it's the beginning of one, certainly small caps, you know, we can talk about the larger companies being overvalued. But the small caps, they were so beaten down, down. You've just shown us, you know, five or six charts of small or medium-sized companies, and they're down 80, 90, 95%. If they're still trading and they're doing okay, and they're not about to, you know, issue stock for cash, that's why they're so cheap. They genuinely are cheap. It's hard to argue whether they're, and now they're all rallying, you know, it won't be long if it is a bull market before people catch on to small caps. And you mentioned the Russell 2000. It's now the gap between the Russell 2000 and the what did you call them, the Lucky Seven, the former FANG stocks,
Magnus, right? Seven, yeah.
That's it. You know, I mean, they keep calling them something new because they add one or two to them. But the point being is their rally was so aggressive that eventually they're going to start getting too toppy, and people will look at the Russell 2000 in the US, and then the same thing will happen here. You know, that I see as inevitable, that risk capital starts to come down into the lower stocks. The difference there is you know, 5-time, 10-time return territory, as opposed to 20-30% return territory.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like what you said there is almost like that simple sometimes. If you look at a chart that's really rallied really hard during the bull market, because there's a lot of, you know, hope and potential around it, and it's come down, and they haven't changed their business model, so the potential is still there, but they've been hammered so hard, and they don't need to raise money, you know?
Yeah.
That potential can be realized again, maybe not as quick, because that was the end of the bull market, but, you know, that aggressive upswing can happen again, as long as the business model is still the same, the market, the end markets are big, and they don't need to raise money. It's almost as simple as that sometimes, you know, isn't it?
That's the starting point. It has to be, the simplicity of it has to be that, and then the rest is, the hard part is picking stock afterwards.
Okay, let's go. Just cover off a couple of headlines here. This is good news. UK housing market stabilizes, but it's still weighing. So they say that Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors said the measure of new buy inquiries rose to a net balance of minus 14 last month, upwardly revised from minus 25 in October. So November's reading was the least weak since plus one in April last year. So it's getting better, the housing market. This made me laugh. Look at this. Tesco's recalled a batch of Christmas stuffing mix due to the possibility of the presence of moths. just add a sticker on the stuffing saying now with added moth. And
you know how you say may contain nuts?
May contain moths, exactly. The Tesco's finest apple and cranberry stuffing mix may be unfit for human consumption. Why, it's a moth? Why can't people like that? It's fine. You're going to cook it. It's fine. Just knock a bit off the price, or just you know, now just say it's a new delicacy. You know, in the Far East, they love that moth, and they'd sell for even more a penny in the pound. Marvelous stuff. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Vadim, thanks very much, fella. I'm off next week, so we'll have to catch up in the new year, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. You know, no, I think we're all off. It is definitely high season for holidays.
Yeah, exactly. So have a nice one. By all means, hit that subscribe button, everyone, if you could. We need to get to 5,000 before year end. That would be great. Couple questions come in. I'm here tomorrow. Sell when the taxi drivers start giving tips out. That's right. That's it, yeah. When is the next news due on SBDS, a silver bullet? I don't know, but it's going to be good, I think, especially now the turn in the markets. I've read about an index like the Russell 2000, but it screens for quality and has outperformed. I don't know. Anyway, thanks very much, Vadim Spiekie, in the new year, fella.
Happy New Year to all, and we'll catch up real soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.